Good morning. Children as young as 11 in Belfast are involved in fights arranged on social media at the weekend. Officials broke up a fight involving young people on the Springfield Road in West Belfast. And in North Belfast, police patrols were stepped up over fears of another arranged fight in the Clifton Park area. There are reports that a drunk 13-year-old had to be brought home by the PSNI following pre-arranged fights in the Falls Park area. A senior officer says some of the fights are sectarian. So what on earth is going on? The SDLP councillor, Paul McCusker, with us this morning. Morning to you, Paul.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, you tell us what's going on.
Yeah, Stephen, these arranged fights have been a problem now for over a year, but in the last 3-4 months, they've been more consistent in terms of, we're seeing in the last couple of weeks, last week we had 3-4 nights of these arranged fights. Young people, as I did say, are organizing through social media, and that's making it more difficult for people on the ground to try and keep on top of it. They're becoming more violent as well, so we're seeing young people carrying weapons. There has been evidence of net. Yeah, I mean, in the last 6 months, we had a young man who sustained a really bad head injury. There was knuckle dusters used, and I was in Ardoyne, and also a young man also sustained quite a bad beating as well, where he lost 2 of his front teeth.
Dusters used by young people?
Yes, yeah. So it's quite serious when we see young people carrying weapons. And one of the things that we've been trying to do on the ground is trying to educate young people of the dangers of this and also the consequences. Because, you know, if young people have been caught with weapons and been caught, you know, the impact that has on their future in terms of education, travel, it can have massive implications. And we're trying our best on the ground to try and educate young people to prevent them from doing this. But it's becoming more on a nightly basis. Say it's been arranged fights have been a problem for over a year in certain parts of North Belfast, but they're becoming more every night.
And sorry to be naive about this, Paul, but when we're talking about arranged fights, so they talk to each other on the internet, do they, and then arrange essentially a fist fight in the middle of the street?
Yeah. So
is that it?
In some occasions, Stephen, you know, something could happen in one of the schools and then we see things kicking off on the streets at night. But what we have seen is that social media has been used where there's private group chats set up on their Facebook, and then they arrange to fight at certain areas. North Belfast, certain areas would be, there's the Alliance Avenue in Ardoyne. There's Girtwood, which is another part of North Belfast, and also in most recent weeks there, Carlisle Circus as well. It's been a problem around that area. So, I mean, young people need to be aware of the consequences. But when young people are starting to carry weapons, it's becoming more concerning for people who are working on the ground. And I mean, we're trying our best on both sides of the community to work with community reps. I know the police have stepped up resources as well, which is really important as well. But we're certainly very concerned.
The PSNI have told the Nolan Show, Paul, that children as young as 11 are out on the streets involved in these fistfights.
Yeah, young people are as young as 11, and the oldest is around about 16, 17. What we do know as well is that there's a number of individuals who are orchestrating this, but quite often is that when there's groups of young people, quite often a lot of young people are following them. You know, there's a few ringleaders it's involved in this. And
adults or young people themselves are the ringleaders?
No, it'd be young people themselves. And
Well, they need to be scooped up, don't they, and locked up.
There's a number of youth workers, Stephen, is working on both sides of the community to identify these young people, to try and work with them. And I know the police, of course, have stepped up resources as well.
Work with them? Why are you working with them?
Yeah, well, I mean,
does there not need to be an alternative message to these young people that if you're old enough to organise fights, then, you know, there will be serious repercussions?
Yeah, I mean, go back a year, Stephen, it started off with young people thinking it's a bit of fun, but then it's turned more serious when we've seen weapons now been used. So I think things have changed in the last 6 months when we've seen young people been seriously hurt. The last thing I want to see as a young person getting a criminal record, but you know, doing this type of behaviour, it's going to lead to that, and it's going to lead to serious implications in terms of young people's, yeah. you know, future. But, I mean, you know, one of the things that I think, what we have been doing, Stephen, is looking at education and prevention. So quite often we're responding when we hear there's groups of young people fighting. We need to get into schools. I know recently the boxer, Carl Frampton, has tweeted messages to try and encourage young people to be aware of the dangers of this. But essentially, police and youth workers and community workers are working really hard every single night to try and stop this, because some young person is going to be seriously hurt or killed yeah. if this doesn't stop, you know.
The Children's Commissioner, Kulu Suma, is with us this morning. Kulu, have you been aware of this, and how concerned are you?
Of course I'm. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Of course I'm concerned, I don't want to hear about any child taking part in this sort of behaviour, not only because of the risk they pose to themselves, but as Paul's already very clearly outlined, the risk they may pose to other people. And it sounds to me that Paul and the other youth leaders and community leaders in that community have a good understanding and they have been doing it for a while, are looking at the best ways of trying to stop this sort of thing happening. So what I would want to see is more of what they are doing, and the youth workers and community organisations in those areas are not spending their whole time worrying about funding, and that they can go out on the streets working with the statutory agencies, you know, like police and social services, to make sure that young people are not getting involved in organised fights and are safe when they are lawfully doing things on the streets, you know, just gathering and being with their mates. So, of course, I'm worried. It's deeply disturbing when you hear about 11, 12, 13-year-olds drinking, when you hear about them
going into town with knuckle dusters to fight.
It's awful, Stephen. I'm not even going to try and defend it. What I think the conversation needs to be about is what is the best way of preventing it, and what is the best way, and Paul's already talked about early intervention and prevention. I absolutely agree with what he's saying about getting into schools, getting the message out there about the risks that these pose, not only to these young people's futures, but also about what's happening within their community. But there's also another conversation, and we're doing a lot of work on this in Nikki and many others are the same, around social media and around how parents are supported to be able to get more involved in what their children are doing online, particularly if they're this age, particularly if they're preteens and early teens. We cannot just let our children be on social media without us as parents getting involved in that. And we need to be able to make sure that parents have the confidence to do that. And that's, I think, possibly a little gap that I can see in what's going on. The other thing I want to say, Stephen, and you and I have been having these conversations for about 15 years, but what I do want to say is we've been having them less often than we used to have them, because what we are seeing is a decrease in antisocial behaviour year on year, and we're also seeing less young people being arrested. So the approach of early intervention, of education, of support, is beginning to work. That doesn't help the people living in Alliance Avenue and in Girdwood when they have to face this, when they've had to face this day on day, and we've heard about the buses going off the road in Lagmore. That doesn't help those people who are experiencing it day on day. But we're beginning to see results coming out of this early intervention, education, family support approach that government and community organisations have taken.
Brian's in Andersontown. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. No, I've heard a wee bit about parents mentioned here. You know, parents, it starts with the parents, Stephen. Where I live, these kids have been dropped off in cars by their parents. That's a fact. Not them all.
Well, they're not being dropped off in cars with parents knowingly knowing they were walking into fights.
Stephen,
is that what you're suggesting?
It's happening here where I live. That's been reported on the news and reported by the community workers here who try to...
Parents stop. Dropping kids off,
yes.
With those parents knowing they're dropping them off to fight.
Yes.
I don't believe it. I actually don't believe it.
Well, you want to speak to some of our community workers here, and they have stated on the news, I don't know what, and the papers, these, not them all, and some, a lot of cases, they're dropping the kids off for the drop, and then come back. I don't know why they come back and pick them up, but they drop them off, Stephen. And that's where I'm saying, it's the parents, and that's what it's hard to do. If that happens, name and shame. You know, that's what I would do, because these parents don't care.
Well, Paul McCusker, you are a community worker. Paul McCusker. Would be he's an SDLP councillor, and I'm very much involved in the community. Paul, are you hearing this?
Yes, Stephen, we have seen before where there was a number of, one of the areas in North Belfast was the Marrowbone Park, which was an area where young people gathered every weekend, and there was parents dropping their kids off at that park every weekend, and we knew in the park young people were taking alcohol and stuff. So yes, I have seen it before, and also...
But have you any evidence that parents are dropping kids off knowing that they're dropping them off to fight? That's what Brian's suggesting.
Well, Stephen, sorry for putting them, but Stephen, I mean, when they hear reports afterwards, obviously they know what's going on then. And you think they would say, hold on, that's, I'm not going to do that again. So they know there's going to be, they know the trouble afterwards, hearing the news, hearing the paper. So they, I mean, they can't say that they don't know what's happening.
Kula, do you think there should be a zero tolerance attitude to parents that don't know where their kids are?
No. I don't know what zero tolerance means. I should have said, what does that mean? Because I'm not. I know what we are seeing that's working is what we're calling the family support approach, which is what Paul will know from his community work. We're seeing parents and families being encouraged, being supported to understand what it is to be a parent and being given the skills to be able to parent their children. I of course I've heard stories about parents dropping children off. I have no evidence that they are dropping them off knowing that their children are going to fight and are going in for organized fights. They're not. I would be very surprised if a parent dropped an 11-year-old to go and have a fight. But there goes back to what I said. I don't think naming and shaming parents works. We those communities that we're talking about, whether it is in Andersonstown or in North Belfast, these are very tight communities. People know who those parents are. So those parents are well known anyway. What I'm saying is there is a different way of doing it, and we are beginning to see results and parents beginning to feel more confident in saying to their children, no, I'm not dropping you off. No, let's do it this way. So it is absolutely unacceptable for parents to be dropping their children off knowing that they're going to have fights. I don't believe that's happening. I have seen no evidence that it's happening, although we do know that parents are dropping their children off. So we need to take a really measured approach to this. We need to stop this happening absolutely and protect our children, and there are ways of doing that.
Here's Jim in West Belfast. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, I'm listening to this guy. The guy was on talking there from Andersonstown, who said that he has claimed that parents are dropping children off knowing they're going to fight and then collect them. I don't believe that there.
No.
I find that very hard to believe, and I know that parents are the problem in a lot of these situations because parents don't know what their children are up to. They don't know who they're
socializing. What's that say about the parents?
See, before I speak, would you stop cutting across when I'm trying to make my point? You do it all the time.
It's a conversation, Jim.
I know, but you know what? See, when I finish saying what I'm saying, then you can... Make your point.
Think we've got to be able to have a conversation. What does that say about the parents?
Well, if you let me finish a point, I was going to get to that there. The problem is that the parents need to be more engaged with what their children are doing when they're with their friends. Nobody's denying a child to have interaction with their friends, but the parent needs to know. So if that guy's claiming that parents are dropping their children off knowing that they're fighting, I don't believe that there.
Well, Brian's here with us this morning. Brian?
Well, listen, I don't know what news you're listening to. I mean, I live around the corner, up front here, I live around the corner, not too far from the Falls Park, where we have a lot of trouble at night, and you, I'm sure you well know that. Now, I'm listening to reports on TV news that our representatives have said, and they're in the park, saying that it's been seen that parents dropping off kids. And the parents, you're telling me parents don't know the next day that there's been trouble in the Falls Park?
Listen, first of all, I didn't come on here to lambast you, right? I just come on to challenge what you're saying.
Well, I'm going to listen to reports on the news. That's all I'm doing.
Right, well, if you let me finish.
Go ahead.
Please. What I'm saying to you is, I find it very hard to believe that. I don't doubt it that it is possible, because there are certain elements of parents who shouldn't be parents because they're not fit to be parents.
Correct.
I doubt very much that a parent is putting their child in the car, driving that child to the Falls Park, knowing wee Johnny or Jimmy is going to get in a fist fight with knuckle dusters and whatever weapons, and then picking wee Johnny or Jimmy up the next day. I find that very hard to believe. And if that is the case, then the community workers like Paul and others who are involved in trying to defuse the situation needs to go to the PSNA, although they're useless.
But I guess the point is that after the next day, when the parents know that there's been a fight and they still don't know where their kids are the next day, the next week, the next month, what type of parents are they?
I know,
and there must be marks in some of these kids.
Stephen, see, another point is here, and I have to see the PSNA, they're utterly useless. They're useless.
Wow, it's a bigger problem in the police.
No,
it's
not. Hold on a second. Or you have that lady from the Children's Commission on talking, and you have Paul McCusker on talking. Why isn't there somebody from the PSNA on talking?
They're coming on in 1 second.
Well, I would love to ask them. They're utterly useless. They must be the most. George Hamilton's leaving. The best thing ever happened to the PSNA. They're the most incompetent police force in the UK.
Well,
Children shouldn't be going to Garwood. Shouldn't be going to the Falls Park.
Well, what do you want the police to do? Stand by each one of their doors and stop them walking down the street?
What do you want the police to do?
These broad, sweeping statements of criticism to them. No, hold on, mate. If you're going to start to...
No, I won't,
because I'm entitled to protect other people in this programme, and you don't get to do monologues in this programme, Jim, okay? Okay, well, it's not fact. First of all, the police service of Northern Ireland, many people would believe, are risking their lives to protect people like you and others. So when you come off with these sweeping statements that the police are incompetent, you're entitled to your opinion, but I'm also entitled to host the show, and I am going to interrupt you when I feel I need to, and that's the rules of the game.
All
right? Okay. So the police, this is a bigger problem surely than the police. This is about the police in partnership with parents, in partnership with social services, in partnership with us as a society. What on earth is driving these kids to want to fight each other, Kula?
We had a conversation about this, and those people like me who have been working with young people for over 30 years, you know, there is something about the thrill. There is something about finding alternative ways to enjoy themselves. So it is thrill-seeking behaviour, which is what children, young people do. And what we have to do as adults is to make sure that them wanting to have thrill and fun is done in a much more safe way. So that's what they think it's fun. That's what's driving them. And that's why I said what I said about parents and teachers in partnership. I mean, I'm really pleased you said that everyone has to work together, and I think it's what Paul said. We're all in this as a team, and parents are in the middle of this. We have to work to make sure our children understand that what is safe for them and what is good behaviour. So gathering in a park to meet your mates is perfectly okay. Mucking about and playing as kids do is perfectly okay. It's when it crosses that line to hurting other people or hurting yourself or causing distress to other people is when we need to have that conversation. Okay. But we need to be clear, and Stephen, I'm really sorry I have to go now,
That's
but
fine.
We need to be clear that we need to be able to support our parents and support our education system and social services and police, and particularly our community workers.
Kula, thank you very much indeed. Stephen. Morning to you. I've been speaking to Superintendent Muir Clark and asked him how young some of these children are.
Well, Stephen, the age range will probably vary from the 11, 12 right up to the late teens. And, you know, there's a wide spectrum of young people who would be involved in this. Now, we've had a recent spike, but it is not a massive problem for us. The reason I want to speak to you this morning is just to put it on the radar of parents. We're engaging a lot through social media, but I want to prevent this during the half-term break over February.
Well, you say a recent spike. How many fights have there been?
Well, Stephen, we've noticed over the last probably 4 weekends, particularly more in North Belfast and the Invest Northern Ireland site at the Springfield Road, there has been antisocial behaviour. And that's a concern for us. Carlisle Circus, Henry Place, has been a concern for us. Now, thankfully, over this last weekend, that has not been the case. But we are just mindful of these interface areas and making sure that we are on top of it.
Who's organising it?
Well, that's hard to say because we are getting really good feedback from the communities. And I'll be honest with you now, do we have a look at social media? Yes, we do. We will look at Facebook. We will look at some of the social platforms to see if we're picking stuff up. And if you look last weekend, our South Belfast Facebook pages had identified a potential confrontation at Ormo Park. So we put something out on Friday night stroke Saturday to say, look, you know, we're going to have evidence gatherers there. If you think that's a clever idea, actually it's not. But all I would say to you is when it comes down to who are the organisers, we'll investigate that where we find it
Is it a different organiser each time, or are there people arranging gang fights on a regular basis?
No, Stephen, it's not about arranging gang fights on a regular basis, and I don't want the listeners thinking that this is a regular and a massive issue. I think that for a variety of reasons, either what's going on between a group and a community or an incident that may have been perceived, that sometimes through social media it tends to get hyped. And sometimes, as we all know, people say things on social media that they perhaps wouldn't say face-to-face. And, you know, some of the stuff that we have talked about, you know, I talked about Ormo Park there at the weekend, some of it is bluster, and actually it doesn't happen.
How many people have been at some of these fights? Many young people we're talking about here?
Sometimes we could be talking anywhere between maybe 20 and 50. I'm thinking particularly of Carlisle Circus a few weekends ago. There would have been maybe between 30 and 50.
Yeah, that's massive.
Well, it's a lot of young people. Now, what I will say to you, Stephen,
50 young people, teenagers, coming together in the middle of our city to fight.
Now, what I will say is, of those 50, what is the best way to put this? They're not all fighting. And what I would say to you is, when I talk about the Henry Place and Carlisle Circus piece, it was crowds coming together, but the actual disorder was small and was not widespread. What I don't want you thinking is that, you know, there are massive crowds of young people involved in violent disorder over Belfast.
Is there a sectarian element to this? Is it Catholic fighting Protestant? Is it school v school, or what is it?
There's a little bit of all those things that you've talked about, actually, which is in there. Certainly in North and West Belfast, we would always have a concern that in actual fact that does play into that. So, yes, it can be at times, sadly.
Which schools are fighting which?
I wouldn't like to actually put names to that, Stephen, because when it comes down to the North and West Belfast piece, for me it is more sectarian than it is school-based. What we would normally see is that it's at interface areas. And it would be unfair of me to say it's this school or that school because...
So it's more sectarian?
Yes, it is. Unfortunately, yes, it is.
And have you information that children as young as 11 or 12 have actually been fighting?
We would have CCTV footage, and I would just ask parents and young people, if they're listening to this, to be mindful that, you know, we do gather evidence. We do seek to identify people and, you know, kids need to understand there is a consequence of being involved in this type of behaviour. You know, children today see the life they lead through that emotional lens of their brain, and they don't always see the consequences which come later down the line of when they're an adult and perhaps they want to go to America or take their family away to a, you know, particular country or whatever, that because they have a conviction for, say, riotous behaviour, they won't be allowed into the States. So there are massive consequences around later life of job choice, perhaps university choice. So, you know, my appeal to the young people is, you know, think ahead. My appeal to parents is very much around, you know, do you know where your child is? Do you know where they are? Well, are you looking at what's on social media?
Yeah, the police have got to help there too, though, don't they? So have you any indication of any upcoming fights in the middle of our city?
No, I don't. I don't.
And you say there will be consequences for kids. Have you prosecuted any kid? Have you arrested any kid involved in these fights?
Yes, Stephen, we have. I mean, I have some figures here. So, you know, in relation to offences for juveniles between December up until yesterday, you know, for a various number of different offences, we've reported 160 children. Now, that's not all for public order before you, you know, go off on one saying, you know, look at that number. That could be for theft or for other offences. So we do intervene. We do try and intervene early. And for us in the police, it's not always about, you know, bringing a child into the criminal justice system.
I totally get that, of course. And you won't do that unless you feel you have to. But let me drill into those figures a little bit more. 160 children in the last 2 months have been, what, charged?
No, we have brought them into the juvenile system. In relation to coming to police attention. And that's for, you know, a number of reasons. It could be concern for safety. It could be antisocial behaviour. It could be because they've gone missing. So there's a number of reasons that they have come to our attention. And then it's we look at that as to what is the best way to actually deal with that child.
Okay. And of the 160 children, how many have been brought into the system because of these fights we're talking about today?
I don't know. I would have to drill into that for you, but I know there are 160 offences that we have recorded in those 2 months, but I haven't drilled that deeply down into the public order piece for you.
Is that Belfast or Northern Ireland?
That's for Belfast, Steve.
160 kids in two... Is that atypical?
It's not untypical. You know, unfortunately, there are kids who come into contact with police for a number of various reasons. So, you know, if you consider the number of children who are in Belfast, 160 is actually, it's not a huge number.
So that's Superintendent Muir Clark.